Hello, and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs, and I am with my colleague, Natalie Bellini. And today, we have an exciting episode. We're actually coming to you from the ADCES Technology Conference, where we're learning and seeing all kinds of great things in technology. But what we want to talk about is actually some updates with retatrutide, also known as Triple G. And just as some background, this is actually a once weekly triple agonist. So it affects GIP, GLP-1, and glucagon. So it would be our first triple agonist. And previously, there was actually a readout at ADA annual meeting of a phase 2 trial that had some pretty promising results. And recently, we have now heard top-line results from a phase 3 trial called the TRIUMPH-4 trial. So, Natalie, I'm going to turn it over to you to share a little information about this trial.
Absolutely. Thanks, Diana. Welcome, everyone. So TRIUMPH-4, new trial, top line only. So there's going to be a little bit of we don't know yet. So just realize that top line is the top line results. Phase 3 trial, triple hormone receptor agonist in patients with obesity and, ready for this, osteoarthritis. So let's see what happens at 68 weeks, key clinical findings. Participants on the 12 milligram dose, mean body weight loss of 28.7%. This is a wow, right? Look at your eyes, Diana. You went, wow, because this is a wow, okay? 28.7%. But then, so that's one, the weight reduction. And then two, let's talk about the pain scores. When you have osteoarthritis and you have pain, what do? You tend to stop moving or move less. And this actually, number one, makes osteoarthritis worse, but what else? It can cause weight gain. So this is really important. Participants on the 12 milligram dose achieved a mean weight, 12 milligram dose, 28.7%. We'll take that out, right? Pain scores. Treatment resulted in a 75.8% reduction in what is called a WOMAC, W-O-M-A-C, pain score compared to weight baseline. And pain-free, 1 in 8 patients reported complete freedom from pain at 68 weeks. So those are the top line results. This is incredible. Diana, we saw this, we have to do a podcast right now. So tell me how you're feeling.
Yeah, I mean, the weight loss is really incredible. So I think back when we saw that initial phase 2 data, we were excited. And now seeing this in a phase 3 trial, that amount of weight loss is really incredible. I mean, we've been very happy with our current agents, you know, with the semaglutide, and soon we'll have higher dose semaglutide. And then, of course, tirzepatide's been a game changer with being the first dual agonist. But the potential of this, like, triple G is just, like, it's so exciting. And I just can't wait for, you know, to see more of this data as they continue their clinical trial program.
And I think that's a really good place to jump into. ADA guidelines came out, and we're going to talk more about them in the next couple of weeks. But one of the things that was brought up is this, you know, we did our year-end episode in all things GLP-1, right? And that is, there's a huge changes in the ADA guidelines, MASLD, you know, kidney disease, osteoarthritis, sleep apnea, you know, all of those are now mentioned in the ADA guidelines, which is a big deal, right? This is really where, you know, we are offering in our endocrine practice. We want everyone that can use a GLP-1 for whatever reason there are, you know, that we want them on it, right? Because a lot with diabetes, with obesity, with wherever we are, it really does help address so many different things now. And each individual one has their own nuances, but we love them.
Yeah. And so, speaking of that, the phase 3 clinical trial program, they are planning to also study it for type 2 diabetes, which, I mean, that is key. Right. I'm really curious to see what the weight loss looks like in type 2, where we know it's often less in type 2 diabetes. But they're also looking at moderate to severe obstructive sleep apnea, also a trial with chronic low back pain. And then they're also going to be looking at that MASLD, metabolic dysfunction associated steatotic liver disease. And then they're going to be looking at the cardiovascular and renal outcomes as well.
So this really does make sense though, right? So they've already, you know, this, and I'm so excited. We're going to have to be patient, which you and I are not very patient, but we're going to have patient as we wait for, you know, we're going to see top line results as in different parts of the trial, these triumph trials for each of those different topics that you mentioned, right? So there will be kidney function, there will be, right, cardiovascular risk, there will be, and they will come out individually like this one did. And then we're going to need to see the full trial results. So this will be a journey, I think, through this, but so exciting, so very exciting for people.
Yeah. Right. And it'll be interesting, like thinking about the glucagon component to it. And if that has an impact on these other outcomes like MASLD and MASH and who knows, and the sleep apnea, especially the cardiovascular renal outcomes, because I think we still have this question about, is it molecule specific or is it just the degree of weight loss? And if you lose 28% of your body weight, you're likely going to have improvement in these conditions, right? So I think some of it, though, is really unknown. And I think especially these cardiovascular renal metabolic outcomes are going to be really important. The other thing that I think we need to wait till we have the full publication to learn more about are the adverse effects. So when you look at, you know, the results they reported, discontinuation rates were similar, but there were more adverse effects in the retatrutide groups. And we expect that, right? But it, you know, it hasn't, the details haven't been shared yet. And so I think we found in practice that even though tirzepatide is really potent and it affects two, you know, it's agonizing two hormones instead of one, many times there's actually less side effects than other agents. So it doesn't mean just because it's more potent that it will have more side effects, but it's really, you know, it just is an unknown right now. And so that's something we've got to wait to have the data on.
Right. So top line results, discontinuing due to adverse events, right? 12 milligrams, it was 18.2%. 9 milligrams, the lower of the doses, 12.2% with placebo at 4%. So that, you know, I think this is very, very, you know, this is pretty in line with, you know, other GLP-1 GIP therapies, about 18 to, you know, depending on where you are in the doses. So that's one, highly correlated with lower baseline BMI though, which I think is very interesting. So for someone with a lower BMI, they had higher rates of discontinuation. If the BMI was greater than or equal to 35 in the subgroup, it dropped from 18% to 12% for that 12 milligram, that higher dose of 12 milligrams. So I think that's really interesting because I don't know that we completely understand why a higher BMI would have less side effects than, right? So interesting. And again, to be determined, we don't know exactly. And so I can't wait to see the full readout.
Right. And we don't know. I mean, there were 445 people in this trial. So it's not, you know, it could be by chance that happened, or there could be something to the mechanism. We just don't know. Right. But it's very encouraging. And I am so excited to kind of hear the rest of all these other readouts because it's been kind of quiet. There really wasn't any mention of retatrutide at ADA this past year. It was really the year before. And it's just been kind of quiet. And we're like, where's Triple G? Where's Triple G? And so I think now we're going to see a lot of readouts in the upcoming months. And so hopefully maybe by 2027, I don't think it's going to be 2026, but maybe by 2027, we could have some retatrutide available for everyone. Maybe sooner if we're lucky.
If we're lucky. Right. Yep. I mean, we have to be patient. Right. So excitingly so though.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks, everyone, for tuning in. That wraps up this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.